I'm Mike Breen, Public Awareness Officer for the American Mathematical Society, and I'm talking with Margot Gerritsen, who's from the Department of Energy Resources Engineering, Mechanical and Civil and Environmental Engineering at Stanford University. And we'll start off part two talking about the role mathematics plays in alternative energies.
There is not a single source of energy that doesn't heavily involve mathematics at some point. And if you look at wind energy, its mathematics plays a very important role, right? You know, in all aspects. First of all, if you want to design a reasonable wind turbine, what you will do is compute how air, as it flows past the wind turbine, behaves and what sort of forces and stresses the turbine blades, for example, would experience. Because only when you do that can you actually design the wind turbine blades in a way that makes them reasonably robust and that makes them behave in the correct way so you can extract energy out of the passing air. So right at that point, people would use computational models, mathematical models, to actually see how they should be designing the materials of the wind turbine blades, what sort of shape these wind turbine blades need to have, how large they have to be, how strong they have to be, etc. So that's just in the actual design of the turbine. Then once you have turbines and you have found, looking at wind data, which may either come from observations or may come from, again, weather models, which again are purely mathematical computational models, then you have this question, well, how many wind turbines are you going to place there? Where exactly are you going to place them? So you have a couple of square kilometers, for example, where you could put these things. How high are you going to install them? And again, for all of that, we'll use large computer models to see if we can optimize these sort of placements. And then, of course, once you start generating electricity, you have to put that on the electrical grid and transmit this electricity to cities or other centers where they need it. And that's, again, a distribution problem and logistics problem. So with wind also, the exploration phase, you know, finding where the good wind data are involves mathematics. The actual production, the actual construction of the wind turbines needs a lot of mathematics. And then getting the electricity to the places where you want it with minimal losses, of course, also needs mathematics. So wherever you're going to go in the energy world, you can't really do this efficiently. You can't really do this well and not at large scale without, you know, making extensive use of computational models and of mathematics.
And what's your feeling for how feasible alternative sources are?
I think it's definitely feasible. You know, there's a couple of very, very good resources out there. Of course, wind, which is right now at the stage where it is actually commercial. So at the moment, the wind turbines can be produced and built in a way that is competitive economically with, for example, coal, right? If you want to produce electricity, still a little bit more expensive than coal, but if we took into account external costs associated with coal, meaning pollution costs, for example, the healthcare costs that are associated with putting pollutants in the air because we're using coal-fired power plants, if we were to take those into account, then wind is certainly competitive. And under the current tax credits and the renewable portfolio standards that we have in the States, for example, wind is already competitive. So it's been built a lot. Now, at the moment, it's not delivering a very large percentage of the electricity that we need. But if you do the analysis of available wind, we could increase that contribution dramatically. The big resource, though, for electricity generation is the sun. And so when people look at solar energy, then we have a lot of potential. We could, if we got solar photovoltaic systems or solar heating up to a point where they were competitive commercially, we could extract all of our electricity needs easily in the United States using solar, because the solar energy is abundant enough. And there's incredible scope there. At the moment, we're not at the stage when it comes to solar energy where we have this at a price that makes it extremely attractive. You know, solar photovoltaic cells are still relatively expensive. couple of factors higher than coal-fired power plant electricity, for example. But my guess is that within the next 10 years or so, we'll get that down because there's many more developments in this area and people are working very hard on this. Of course, it's a very attractive market to go into, right? The energy market is a huge market in the world. So people are working on this big time. And then apart from those two, wind and solar, there are other options for renewable energy sources. For example, people look at geothermal energy more and more, especially enhanced geothermal systems, where you go deep below the surface, several kilometers below the surface, and use the heat that you have in the Earth's surface there to warm up liquids that you're sending through it and pumping back up, and then you extract the heat from those liquids. So those are very attractive options, but those are all still in very early stages. But I think that in the next decade or two, we'll see an incredible advance of these renewable energy sources.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Margot?
Oh, I think that when it comes to the energy world, it's an incredible place for a mathematician to be in, you know, because, like I said, every aspect of energy exploration, generation, and delivery requires mathematics, and there's many, many outstanding open problems. So sometimes when I talk to students, they feel that every mathematical problem in this field has already been solved, but that's not true. We need a lot of people to help us with this and to work on it, and it's a fascinating area to be in. There's any type of mathematical complexity you can find in the energy world. So I'm really hoping that it will attract more and more people because it's such an incredibly important area to work in, and we cannot really advance this without computational mathematicians and new talent coming in. So I guess what I wanted to add is a little bit of a sales pitch for this field. I think it's one of the most attractive, exciting fields to be in for a mathematician.
So that's Margot Gerritsen, Department of Energy Resources Engineering, Mechanical and Civil and Environmental Engineering at Stanford University. Margot, thanks very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It was a pleasure.